All right, ready to dive in. We're tackling chapter 4 today.
Chapter 4, yeah.
Of Speak Out, Call In.
Public speaking as advocacy.
Exactly. And this one is all about researching your arguments. I think this one's going to be super useful for anybody who's, you know, had to give a speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a presentation. So probably all of us at some point.
Yeah, pretty much. I think a lot of people, when they think about research, they just think about like, oh, I just got to find some facts to support my point. But this chapter really kind of reframes it and says, no. Research is about building your understanding of a topic. So you're entering into a dialogue with different perspectives.
Right.
And, you know, you're kind of deepening your own thinking before you even start crafting your speech.
Yeah, it's almost like that research is a superpower that helps you really know a topic deeply.
Yeah.
So you can speak about it with that much more confidence and authority.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Let's hear superpowers. Let's talk about how to actually navigate the information overload, right?
Right. I mean, there's so much information out there today.
There is. It's overwhelming.
Between websites, scholarly articles, books, and let's not forget about social media.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where do we even begin?
Well, I think this chapter does a good job of laying out some of the basics first by, you know, talking about different types of information, websites, scholarly articles, you know, all that. But then it really focuses on a key distinction for college students, which is this idea of academic versus non-academic sources.
Okay. Yeah. I could see how that would be super important, especially in a college setting.
Yeah.
Like imagine citing a random tweet in your research paper.
I don't think your professor's going to be too happy about that.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
No.
You can get some raised eyebrows.
So, yeah, you have to know the difference, and it really comes down to who produced the information and for what audience.
Okay.
So that's kind of your first clue.
That makes sense.
When evaluating.
You're not going to cite, like, your friend's Instagram post about climate change in your environmental science presentation.
Probably not a good idea, no.
Probably not. But, okay, what about all these new tools?
Yes.
We're hearing so much about these AI tools, like ChatGPT. Can we really trust those for research?
That's the big question, right? Uh-huh. And it's one that everybody's grappling with right now. The chapter does talk about some of the pros and cons.
Right.
And, you know, on the one hand, these AI tools are incredibly fast.
Oh, yeah.
And convenient.
For sure.
I mean, it's like having a research assistant who can pull up information in a matter of seconds.
That sounds amazing.
It is kind of amazing. But here's the catch.
Okay.
The information that AI generates, you know, it can't be retrieved by anyone else.
Okay.
So if you're giving a speech and somebody in the audience says, hey, where did you get that statistic? You can't really point them to, you know, a website or a journal article. You're just kind of like, oh, my AI buddy told me.
And I can only imagine how frustrating it would be, honestly, for people in the audience. If they're like, wait, but I want to learn more, but I can't actually go back and find that original source.
Exact.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the issue of bias?
Yes. So that's another big one because AI models, they're trained on massive data sets.
Right.
And those data sets can reflect the biases
of
the humans who created them. So you always have to be very aware of that.
Right.
And double check everything that AI generates, especially anything that seems, you know, controversial or too good to be true.
So it sounds like AI can be a helpful tool, but it's definitely not a replacement for good old fashioned critical thinking.
Totally agree.
And careful evaluation of sources.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the chapter introduces this concept called lateral reading, which honestly sounds like something out of like a detective novel.
It kind of is. It's a very cool concept. Basically, it's about cross-referencing and verifying what you find online. Think about it this way. If you're shopping for a new gadget online, you wouldn't just buy the first one you see, right?
No.
You would read reviews, compare prices. You might check out the manufacturer's website.
Right.
Lateral reading is applying that same skepticism to information that you encounter online.
So instead of just reading an article from top to bottom, you're kind of like branching out, opening new tabs.
Totally.
And kind of like investigating the claims, the author, the publisher.
Yeah.
The whole picture.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting the full context.
Okay, I like that.
And the chapter talks about this fascinating study from Stanford where they found that journalists were actually better at spotting fake news than academics.
Really?
Because they were using these lateral reading techniques.
That's amazing.
They weren't just taking information at face value. They were digging deeper, comparing sources, verifying claims.
Like they had this like built-in BS detector.
Totally. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so let's break down these lateral reading steps.
Okay.
The first one, if I'm remembering correctly, is to check if someone has already debunked the claim.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, has Snopes fact-checked it? Have other scholars, you know, refuted this argument?
Right. Like, that's a good first step.
Taking a few minutes to do that initial check can really save you from going down, you know, a rabbit hole.
Yeah, a rabbit hole of misinformation.
Of misinformation, exactly.
Okay, so that's step one. Then
you want to go upstream to the original source.
Okay.
Don't rely on, you know, a blog post that's summarizing a scientific study.
Right.
Find the actual study.
Go to the source.
Yeah, and read it yourself.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then the third step is, you know, if you find yourself kind of getting lost in a maze of information.
Yeah.
It's okay to circle back and try a different approach.
Okay.
Maybe you need to refine your search terms, look for a different angle on the topic.
So it's almost like being okay with
yeah.
like starting over or like reframing your research.
It is. It's about being persistent and resourceful.
Okay.
You know, think of it as a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to dig a little deeper to find the real gems.
And speaking of gems, not all sources are created equal.
No, they're not. And that's where
I've definitely fallen down the rabbit hole of. Like internet research and ended up on some very questionable websites.
I've been there.
So how do we separate the wheat from the chaff? How do we know if a source is truly credible?
Well, the chapter gives us a really handy checklist for evaluating sources.
Okay, cool.
And this is where critical thinking becomes like your superpower.
All right, let's hear it.
So the first thing you want to consider is the date. Is this information current enough?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
For your topic.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like if I'm talking about like the latest trends in social media marketing, I probably don't want to be looking at something from, you know, 2015.
Exactly. You know, a historical analysis might require some older sources.
Right.
But if you're talking about something current, you need current information.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. And then you want to look at the author. Who is this person? Are they a recognized expert in the field? What are their credentials?
Yeah.
And be wary of those social media influencers.
Oh, yes.
Just because somebody have a lot of followers doesn't mean they're a reliable source of information.
Doesn't mean they're an expert on, like, astrophysics.
Exactly.
Just because they're good at taking selfies.
No, totally.
Okay, what else should we be looking for?
Look at the publisher.
Okay.
Is this a reputable organization? Is it a peer-reviewed journal? Is it a respected news outlet? Or is this a website that's pushing a particular agenda?
Yeah, those are all good things to think about.
Yeah.
And what about citations? Like if a source is making, you know, some pretty big claims, are they backing those up with evidence?
Absolutely. Are they citing their sources? And even better, are other researchers citing this work?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's like a vote of confidence.
It's like your peers are saying, like, yeah, we agree with this. Okay, so we've talked about evaluating sources, but there's another big piece of this puzzle.
Yes.
That I think we need to talk about.
Huge.
And that's plagiarism.
Yes. The dreaded P word.
The big no-no.
The big no-no
of academia.
Yeah, of the academic world and the professional world.
And the professional world. And this chapter, I think, does a really good job of breaking it down in a way that's really easy for students to understand.
Yeah.
Because essentially, plagiarism is presenting somebody else's work or ideas as your own.
And it's not always, I think people think of it, oh, you're just like, you know, copying and pasting a whole paper.
It can be much more subtle than that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More sneaky.
The chapter talks about two types. Stealing.
Okay.
Which is just taking somebody else's work wholesale, and then sneaking, which is, you know, copying bits and pieces and trying to disguise it as your own.
Like trying to pass off someone else's song lyrics as your own poetry.
Exactly, yeah.
It's still plagiarism, even if you change a few words here or there.
Totally.
Yeah, okay, good point.
And the consequences can be pretty serious. I mean, you're talking about failing grades.
Wow.
Suspension from school, even damage to your reputation that can follow you long after you graduate.
It's not worth it.
No.
So how can our student listener avoid that, like steer clear of that academic danger zone?
Well, the good news is that avoiding plagiarism is totally doable.
Okay.
It's all about being organized, being diligent, and being transparent about your sources.
Okay.
And the chapter lays out three key ways to incorporate sources into your work. Direct quotes,
Okay.
paraphrasing
Yeah.
and summarizing.
Okay, let's break those down because I think those are all super
Yeah, they're super important.
important to understand.
Yes.
So direct quotes, that's when you're using someone else's exact words,
Exact word.
word for word,
Yep.
encased in quotation marks.
Yeah, have those quotation marks.
Yeah.
It's like, you're bringing in a guest speaker for a moment.
Yeah.
To add, impact and authority to your argument, you're
Yeah.
saying, hey, listen to this expert. They know what they're talking about. But even though you're using their words verbatim,
Right.
you still need to make it clear to the audience who's speaking.
Right. So we don't accidentally plagiarize and say,
Exactly.
oh, this was my idea.
Right. Like, I came up with this brilliant
And
insight.
it was actually, Einstein or
Right there.
something.
That's where those oral citations come in.
Okay.
It's like giving that guest speaker a proper introduction.
Okay.
You wouldn't just have somebody walk on stage and start talking. You would say, hey, everybody, I'd like to welcome so and so. It's the same thing with quotes.
Okay.
Practice saying them out loud.
Right.
So it sounds natural and conversational, and always emphasize the credibility of the source.
Yeah.
Let the audience know why they should trust this quote
Right.
and why this person is an authority on the subject.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so direct quotes are all about bringing in that powerful voice.
Okay, to support your argument.
Yes.
But then we have paraphrasing,
Yeah.
which is where you're putting somebody else's ideas into your own words.
Okay, so you're kind of like translating it
You are, yeah.
into a language your audience will understand.
Exactly. Taking maybe a more complex concept
Yeah.
and making it more accessible
Okay.
and putting your own unique spin on it.
But just because you're paraphrasing doesn't mean you can skip the citation.
No. You still have to give credit where
Yeah.
credit is due.
They're still building on someone else's idea.
Yeah, you're acknowledging the original source
Right.
while also showing the audience that you've understood and interpreted the material.
Right. It's like you're doing the work to
Yeah.
understand it and you're
Yeah,
sharing that with your audience.
exactly. And it really shows your research skills and your critical thinking ability.
Okay, so paraphrasing, super important.
Super important.
And then we have summarizing,
Summarizing.
which is kind of like giving your audience like the SparkNotes version. Yes, exactly. You're condensing the main points, highlighting the key takeaways, and making sure it all connects back
Right.
to your speech.
It's like giving them a little movie
Yeah.
trailer
Yes, a little sneak
for
peek.
this, like,
Yeah.
awesome film.
Exactly.
But again, always cite your source.
Always, always, always.
Yeah, you're basically saying
Yeah.
this is the essence of what this expert has to say.
Yes.
And here's why it matters to our conversation.
It's all about weaving those sources into your narrative,
Okay.
making them a natural part of your argument,
Yeah.
and always being upfront about where your information came from.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point about building trust with your audience.
It is, yeah.
Like when you are upfront about your sources,
Yeah.
it makes people more likely to listen to you.
Absolutely. When you demonstrate that you've done your homework, they're more likely to take you seriously.
Okay, so now let's talk about the elephant in the room, AI
Yes.
and citations.
Yeah. Yes, the tricky part.
Because I know these AI tools, like ChatGPT, can generate text that sounds
Oh, it's amazing.
so human-like.
It's
It's
wild.
real, it is wild.
Yeah.
But how do we navigate the ethical gray areas there?
Yeah, it's a big question, and it's one that's still being debated
Yeah.
in academic circles. I think the first and most important step is to check your instructor's policy.
Okay.
Some professors may just say, no, you cannot use AI
All
tools
right.
at all,
But even if it's allowed,
even if it's allowed.
transparency is key.
Transparency is key. You still need to cite the AI tool
Okay.
that you used, just like you would any other source.
Okay, so you're basically saying, like, if you were writing a paper and you quoted a passage from a book,
Right.
you wouldn't just include the quote.
You would mention the title of the book, the author,
Right.
the page number.
Yeah, it's the same principle with AI.
It's the same
You
thing.
have to be upfront about
Yeah.
where that information came from.
Absolutely.
And are there specific guidelines? Like, I'm assuming, like,
That's a good question.
APA and MLA are probably
Yeah.
working on that.
Yeah. So the guidelines for citing AI are still being developed.
Okay.
So it's important to stay informed about the latest recommendations
Right.
from those organizations, APA, MLA, check their websites, see what they're saying.
It's a rapidly evolving
It is.
landscape.
Yeah.
And being a responsible researcher means, like,
Or it
staying up
does.
to date.
It really does.
Yeah.
So
Oh.
yeah, it's all about maintaining academic integrity,
Yeah.
whether you're using traditional sources, books and articles, or you're exploring this exciting new world of AI. You know, it's interesting to think about how we actually access information these days. You know, the chapter talks about open versus closed systems, and I think that can be a little bit confusing for
Wow.
students who are, you know, used to just like Googling everything.
Yeah, especially if you like hit that paywall
Oh,
right when you're getting to like the good stuff.
Yes, the
And it's
worst.
like, oh, I actually have to like pay for this research paper.
I know, it's like you're so close, and
Yeah.
then suddenly, boom, you can't get it.
Yeah.
But the chapter uses this really, I think, helpful analogy of, you know, thinking about open systems as
Right.
being kind of like public parks.
Okay.
Like anybody can wander in,
Right?
enjoy the space, you
Yeah.
know? Whereas closed systems are more like those exclusive clubs
Okay.
with velvet ropes. You need a membership to get in.
And in this case, your university library card is your VIP pass to all
Exactly.
those,
It's like your golden ticket.
yeah, to all those databases filled with scholarly articles and all that good
All
stuff.
the good stuff, and a lot of stuff that you wouldn't be able to find just by doing, you know, a general Google search.
And a pro tip for
Yes.
our student listener.
Yes.
Most university libraries also offer like VPN access.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you can use those databases even when you're off campus.
Oh, that's a good
Yeah,
point.
it's like
Yeah.
having that library
Yeah.
in your pocket at all times.
24/7.
Yeah, I remember those like late night study sessions
Oh, yeah.
fueled by coffee and the library website. Okay, so to kind of wrap things up here,
Okay.
I think like the key takeaway is that research isn't just about like gathering information.
Now.
It's about understanding that information,
Yeah.
evaluating it critically, and using it ethically
Yeah.
to build that powerful and persuasive argument.
Absolutely.
So, our student listeners out there,
Yeah.
you have all the tools and resources you need
You do.
to succeed. So, keep asking questions, keep digging deeper,
Yeah.
keep exploring the amazing world of
Yeah,
information.
and that's out there.
And you know, your next brilliant speech
It's waiting to be discovered.
is just waiting to be
Awesome.
discovered.